Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan, look for a safe space.
Dig in your heels and hold on tight.
You can shove your opinion up your ass, that way Obama's cock has something to keep you company.
Either you are wrong, or I am right.
Don't forget, the ever-present, most likely, the third possibility, you are wrong, and I am right. Greetings and good morning, ladies and gentlemen, friends and enemies, children and adults, statist and anarchist. I am the great one himself, founder, Cynical Libertarian Society. This is Stating the Obvious podcast. It is the weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile of my intellect. The cruise missile that homes in and destroys motherfucking statist all around the world. Every time some fucking statist starts whining about, who's gonna build the roads? Or, we need more gun control. I pull out the 50 caliber machine gun, and I mow you the fuck down. No, we don't need no motherfucking more gun control. Here's something I need to get around to making fun of. I need to do a little bit of research. So, I still don't really know very much about the terrorist attack in Nice, France. Other than, of course, that the person who did it was a Muslim. I don't even have to research that. We know that the terrorist is a Muslim. It just goes without saying. And we know that the femistatist will make excuses for this. And we know that Obama, again, I haven't read Obama's response, but I know that Obama blamed it on the internet and heterosexual white men. I know that this happened. How come nobody's calling for more truck control? I mean, what kind of truck was this person driving? And was there a waiting period for him to get that truck? Did he really, you know, like how large was the truck? What was its tonnage? How many cylinders did the engine have? You know, does a person really need that sort of a truck? What sort of restrictions on trucks should we have to prevent this sort of thing from happening again? Of course, now some of you say, well, we shouldn't have restrictions on trucks. And I can only assume that you do, of course, hate women and hate children. Anyhow, I am the great one himself. In the control room over there, the lovely and adorable Randy. Today is the 21st of July, 2016, in the year of our Lord, Hussein Obama. 7 years of the Messiah's presidency, and all our problems are solved. All the poor people are no longer poor. There are no unemployed people. Everyone has free health care. Guantanamo Bay has been closed down. The war in Afghanistan and Iraq are over with. I just saw somewhere, I think I've got it in the pile over here, to talk about Obama sending more troops to Iraq and attack helicopters. I thought he was going to end the war. Anyhow, just a couple of things before we get started. We're going to... Quick story. So I have this friend, and she had a business idea, and I said, hey, you should go talk to this corporation over here, because they do similar stuff. Maybe they'd be interested in working with you on this. You could do this together. Okay. So she went and she talked to them, and they said, yeah, thanks for coming, but we're not interested. All right. So she went off, and she started the business on her own. And it's been going for a while, and she's doing good. The corporation is now starting a business doing exactly the same thing that she pitched to them that they turned down. And initially, I was like, oh man, that really fucking sucks for her, because now she's going to be in competition for the same sort of people with this, you know, mega corporation that has unlimited budget and shit tons of name recognition. I felt sorry for her. And then I found out that she's a feminist. And I don't feel sorry for her anymore. Meanwhile, over on the Twitterverse, I did my linkage special Milo Yiannopoulos edition, And right after that, I discovered, I don't know exactly when it happened, I saw this whole thing about how Milo got permanently banned from Twitter, which apparently had to do with him tweeting back and forth with the, I guess we'll call her a woman, I don't know that she's otherwise, she could be, I don't want to be transphobic though, because she doesn't look much like a woman, the black actor who claims to be female, who is in Ghostbusters, and I looked at her Twitter feed, and apparently, according to her Twitter feed, she was saying, like, goodbye Twitter, I can't want to do this thing, whatever, you can go find it, I don't remember exactly what it said. So it looks like she left Twitter, and she was retweeting something, one of her own tweets, where she was, like, should I look it up? Anyway, it was some racist, sexist, homophobic comment from her Twitter account directed at Milo. And she was saying, I didn't tweet this. My account has been hacked. You know, and this goes back to why women, social justice warriors, femistatists, femisimps, all of the inferior people in our society, this illustrates why they're so attracted to social media. Social media is this place where, first of all, if somebody disagrees with you, you can have them banned, right? You can have them removed, like Milo was removed, because you don't want to hear opinions different than yours. And then, you ever notice that, when do right-wing statists or anarchists come on and be like, my Twitter account was hacked, I didn't write that. Anytime a left-wing statist says something on Twitter or a social justice warrior that embarrasses them, you ever notice, oh, my account was hacked. That wasn't me. I didn't do that. And it also, well, it again, it just shows how pathetic these people are that... So Milo's heckling this, and I don't know, I didn't fucking try to follow, well, all of Milo's tweets have been deleted, so I can't follow the conversation, but what I infer from what I've read is that Milo and this stupid cunt who was in Ghostbusters were heckling each other on the fucking Twitterverse. And so Milo gets banned, and she runs away. Well, what about all the femistatists who heckled and attacked Josh Whedon on Twitter? And of course, he did the same thing because he's a femistatist. He's like, oh, I'm leaving Twitter. Twitter and social media in general. I understand why it appeals to the inferior people, because it's a place where you can have a safe space made for you, because there are people like Anita Sarkeesian and all the rich white men who run the social media who are terrified of women who are femisimps, whose, you know, life revolves around the prime directive, making sure that no white woman ever experiences discomfort. And going on to Twitter, you know, social media is becoming a safe space. And that's why social media is becoming less and less relevant. I've talked about this in the past, in the sense too. Social media, I mean, it's just there for advertising. You get on the fucking Twitterverse or Facebook, in addition to just the stupid shit and the people, you know, talking about vote for Trump or vote for Hillary. So much of it, it's just advertising. It's commercials. And social media has become, over time, just less and less and less and less of any kind of interest to me. Between the growing populations of mentally inferior people, you know, I've talked about being on Feminist Book and being in these so-called anarchist groups and just being met with stupidity when you just ask a fucking question. Yeah, I mean, it is, social media is the magnet that attracts the most inferior people in our society. The people who are actually doing things don't have time to look at a cell phone. They don't have time to tweet shit. They don't have time to do Instagram. they're doing things, the more prevalent a person's prominence on social media, the less likely it is this person is actually doing anything of any value. Speaking of value, I went trail running this morning. It was good. We just got back, got to the studio here. I'm still gulping down water and coffee, hence the periods of silence. Saw some deer, saw a mother deer and her two little fawns. They were cute. They still had little white spots on them and everything. They're pretty adorable. And yes, it was a good morning. Anyhow, and so that's all the tangenting I think I've got that brings me up to date on some of the tangenting. We're going to take a little walk back in history today to June 2010. Back in the day, when I was your age, there was this thing called Liberty Magazine. I have read many, many things on this podcast in the past from Liberty Magazine. Liberty Magazine does not exist anymore in print format, which makes me really, really fucking sad because this was the one magazine I read from cover to cover. It's the closest thing to anarcho-capitalist thought that I've ever run across. There's Reason Magazine, which calls itself libertarian. It's libertarian-ish, but you know, again, it veers towards political realities, and you know, you have people in Reason Magazine saying things like, "Well, we need some regulations on this." I go, "Oh, God, fucking damn it, just go die," right? Liberty Magazine was the closest thing I ever found to anarcho-capitalism. And everything was very well written and interesting, and they covered a lot of great. Anyhow, Liberty still exists in an online format. It's linked over in the sidebar of the website. And what the fuck is their website? I'd plug it right now, but I don't remember. Anyhow, I'll put the link in the show notes. It's not Liberty, and it's not Liberty Magazine. It's something, something, something. It's a little counterintuitive. It's a little not intuitive. Liberty is in there. Anyhow, Liberty Magazine. It was great. And when cleaning the bookshelves, I found I have the June, July, August, September, October, November, and December issues of Liberty Magazine from 2010. And I had almost finished the June issue, and I haven't started the others. So I'm going to read them. As I've talked about before, I think it's important to read things, especially like this, that have been written in the past. Because it's like right now today, you're sitting around, you read a magazine, you read a newspaper article, whatever, and it makes some kind of predictions about blah-de-blah-de-blah-blah is going to happen in the future. And then it just sort of falls out of your mind. I think it's really interesting to get stuff that was written 5 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever, and you read it, and you see, okay, so these people made all these predictions. How many of these predictions actually worked out? How much of what did they say actually came to be? My classic example of this, of course, is Paul Ehrlich, who has written multiple books about how we were all going to starve to death and die. According to him, we were all going to starve to death and die in the 80s, and then we were going to starve to death and die in the 90s. Then we were going to starve to death and die in the aughts, and now we're, of course, going to starve to death and die in the teens. Like, every 10 years, he writes a book about how in 10 years, people are all going to starve to death and die because there's no way that humans can grow enough food to feed everybody. And yet every year, there continue to be people all over the United States of America throwing food away, and government pays farmers not to grow food. And of course, black people keep starving in Africa, but that's what, of course, white people like Paul Ehrlich want, because first of all, he wants to eliminate black people. And second of all, starving black people create a really good photo op for little white college girls to go over there and be like, I went to Kenya and I helped a village. Look, here's my picture with all the little black children looking up at me like I'm their white savior. Anyhow, Liberty Magazine from June 2010. I'm going to read some stuff out of here. This is stuff that I had marked back in 2010 when I started reading the magazine for talking about On Stating the Obvious. I haven't really read ahead, so this is, even though I've read all of this before, I read all of this 6 years ago, however many years ago it was. Anyhow, like I said, Liberty, it's still on the internet. I've read almost nothing because, as you know, I hate reading things on the fucking computer screen. As you know, I have completely given up on the fucking e-reader bullshit, and I've gone back to buying books on paper. And I'll be talking about some more, I got some book shit coming up, not talking about books. Anyhow, let's get this going. Also, I found a new podcast that I started listening to. I've only listened to half of one episode so far, but the guy is really interesting. I like him a lot. He reminds me of myself, which is probably why I like him. So I'm going to listen to a few more episodes, and if it continues to be this good a quality of entertainment, and he doesn't lie to me, he's on here reading stuff and then analyzing it and poking holes in it and making fun of it and all sorts of stuff. I like this guy. So anyhow, I may have a podcast recommendation for you in the future if it continues. All right, I should get started, right, Randy? Because where are we at? Did I mention? I did not. The email address is God. It's dog spelled backwards. God at cynlibsoc.com if you want to send us love mail, hate mail, or naked pictures. And I got to do the fan mail episode. So I have, as always, I have so fucking much going on. Got to do the fan mail episode. I know, I'm working on it. I'm working on a lot of things. We know I'm full of shit. Okay, big honking. I can't talk. Big fucking drink of water, and we're going to get started. By we, I mean I. Okay. Here we go. Liberty magazine was also really good about poking holes in global warming. Some of the best articles ever pointing at global warming and explaining why this isn't happening could be found in Liberty magazine. A specter is haunting Al Gore and friends. No, it's not global warming with its scary tornadoes, sea level rises, and species extinctions. It is the possibility that global warming can be prevented without doing a thing about fossil fuels and carbon dioxide emissions. Now also, pick the guy whose name I can't pronounce. Right here I have his books. Bjorn Lomborg, Bjorn Lomborg, Global Crisis, Global Solutions, and The Skeptical Environmentalist, Measuring the Real State of the World. I have his two books right here. And yeah, I've seen documentaries about him. I've seen the documentary. He says, yeah, the global warming wackos attack me. He says, he comes and says, no, I believe in global warming. I think it is happening. We just differ. Right, he's the guy who said, hey, and we'll get to this. He's the guy who said, okay, so if we want to prevent global warming, if we want to stop the planet from heating up, all we have to do, not all, but one thing we can do that will make a huge difference, all of these tops, the roofs of buildings, all of, just paint the roofs white. It'll reflect the heat back. It will cause the temperature to go down. Global warming wackos went insane. Because we all know the only possible solution to global warming is raising taxes and passing more laws. This is how you know that global warming wackos don't give a fuck about the environment. Or it's all horseshit. It's all horseshit window dressing for a totalitarian communist agenda of taking money from people and making more laws, having more control over humans. Having control over other people. What is this pile of shit? Oh, I don't know what that is. Having control over other people is the true objective of the global warming wacko. The global warming wacko does not give a flying fuck about the environment or nature or animals or any more than the overpopulation wacko gives a fuck about starving children in Africa. Okay? All of that is bullshit. That's to distract you. The point is simple. If the Earth is warming and you don't want it to, There are ways, relatively cheap ways, to cool the Earth. All you have to do is reflect a tiny fraction of the sun's energy back into space. The evidence that this works comes from our experience with volcanoes. When Krakatoa exploded in 1883, the particles it spewed into the upper atmosphere reflected enough sunlight to lower temperature by over 2 degrees Fahrenheit for several years. The same effect was noted after Pinatubo, the Philippines volcano, which erupted in 1991. This effect could be duplicated by high-flying airplanes spraying fine reflective particles into the upper atmosphere. Now, that doesn't sound like my first option. What do you make these reflective particles out of? An airplane? Yeah, it might work, but just saying, that would not be my first option. Another approach is to increase the cloud cover. Since clouds are white, they reflect the sun's energy back into space. And again, this is something when you're dealing with the global warming wacko. Right now, the global warming wackos are going insane because the concept that clouds are white and that white clouds reflect sunlight back into space and reflecting sunlight into space away from the Earth would lower the temperature, they're just, no man, you don't understand. There's science, man, science. These are people who don't understand that clouds reflect light, right? This is the intelligence level of the person who believes in global warming. I've seen this over, and believe you me, I have fucking read plenty of global warming wacko shit. If you're very new to the podcast, you will not. In the past, I have devoted so much time to global warming. That's why I hardly talk about it anymore, because it's this failed religion, but it's a religion that still hangs on. In my famous story that I've emphasized over and over again, is I used to be a global warming wacko. Then I spent 6 months at the library, and back in Houston, Texas, where we had this nice, big, giant, air-conditioned, beautiful library with all sorts of research material available. I spent 6 months doing global warming research, reading shit, checking up and reading these reports and looking. And that was when I finally concluded these people had no fucking idea what they were talking about and that global warming was a goddamn scam and a fucking religion. And nothing has changed, right? Since then, nothing's different. Every single year, this is the hottest year on record. Oh, fuck you. Every single year, we're all going to be dead from global warming in 5 years. Every single year, it's going to get hotter and hotter. And none of this shit ever happens. None of this ever fucking happens. And these are people who, honest to God, when you explain to them that clouds reflect sunlight, and if you reflect more sunlight, the temperature will go down. These are people who fucking claim they believe in science, but they will deny that clouds reflect sunlight. This is some terrifyingly fucking weak shit. And this is the intellect of the global warming wacko. And again, it's all religion. It's like when you try to explain to a Christian there are various reasons why there's not an invisible man living in the sky. It doesn't do any good. It does no. And when you try to explain to somebody who voted for Obama that Obama did not give them free health care and did not close Guantanamo Bay, you cannot permeate their fucking religious fanaticism with facts, because they have this religious fanaticism that is impervious to information. And this again goes back to why people say, "Well, great one. If on your podcast, if you would use less bad language, maybe you could convince people." I'm not here to fucking convince. I cannot convince any motherfucker on the planet Earth. There's not one global warming wacko who's going to listen to this. I could stop right there because no global warming wacko will listen to this. But let's say a global warming wacko did actually listen to this. No global warming wacko is going to be convinced that clouds reflect sunlight by me telling them that clouds reflect sunlight. I could get scientific studies, show them, look, here's a study that says a cloud reflects sunlight. I could take them outside on a partially cloudy day. We could stand there and say, see how the sun is on us right now? We have shadows and it's really bright and we can feel the sun on our skin. And then a cloud would come over us and then I'd be like, Sal, you see how we're in the shade? You see how there's less sunlight hitting our bodies? Do you see how so the sunlight's being reflected back by the cloud away from us on the ground? They still would not believe that clouds reflect sunlight because their religious beliefs don't allow that to happen, right? It's just, no, they're never going to accept this. And this is why when people like Lomborg say, hey, we could reflect sunlight into space by painting roofs white, this is why global warming fanatics go insane, because it's like going up to a Catholic and saying, you do know there's no invisible man in the sky, right? You realize you're just saying that so that you can feel good and sleep at night, right? You do know that. And the Catholic will go nuts. It's like telling a Muslim that if they blow themselves up, they're not going to get any virgins. I mean, what are they going to do? They're going to blow themselves up and blow you up as well because you're a fucking infidel. All right, anyway, 26 minutes in. I'm barely getting started. Let me try to focus. All right. Stationary ships could generate these clouds by pumping up seawater and spraying it into the atmosphere in a fine mist. Ship on the ocean, shooting water into the air. Now that sounds harmless, viable, not going to use a lot of energy, not going to have a lot of environmental impact. Like I say, I don't know what this airplane is dumping in the air to reflect. That's just not my first choice. Another way to increase the Earth's reflectivity, is to develop mira farms, arrays of reflective material spread out on deserts and other wastelands. Again, that sounds like a terrible idea. That's going to be labor intensive. You got to manufacture this shit. You got to spread it out on the ground. And I mean, I don't want to sound like a fucking nature wacko, but again, see, this is the difference. This is called having common sense. Putting that out there is going to have, you may say, well, it's a desert or whatever, but there's still animals and shit that live out there. So that's not a first choice, in my opinion. A related tactic would be to make the urban landscape more reflective. Make street surfaces white instead of black, and make the roofs of buildings reflective. This approach gives scope to individual participation. You want to think globally and act locally? Paint the roof of your house white. Yeah, paint, just make white roofs. And why are roads black? Is it just because that's the natural color of the asphalt? Is there any serious reason that the road needs to be black? Now, I suppose in areas where it snows, maybe you've got the contrast, black road, white snow, but then when you have black ice, the black ice blends right in, and that shit sucks because I've hit some black ice in my life on cars, on bikes, on foot. But like down in the south where it doesn't snow where I'm from, why are the roads black? Well, because that's the way it's always been. Oh, wait, and then somebody out there saying, wait, are you racist? You don't think the road should be black? Do you hate black people? You're also predictable. I promise you, some fucking left-wing statist fucking social justice warrior is thinking that. Oh, God. All right, anyway. As a way of combating global warming, geoengineering has three obvious advantages over the approach of trying to limit carbon dioxide emissions. First, it appears to be much cheaper. Seeding, misting, or mira farms would cost only billions, a tiny fraction of the trillions it would cost to wrench the carbon heart out of our economy. Second, geoengineering directly addresses the problem. With geoengineering, you don't care what is causing global warming. It could be, and this is an important thing here. And this again shows us the religious hubris of the global warming wacko and their intellectual inferiority. As much as you would love to believe that it has been proven that global warming is happening, again, we're not talking about the temperature of the Earth and the climate changing, which, as I have explained, the climate of the planet Earth has been changing since the planet Earth existed. The climate of the planet Earth is a dynamic system that always changes. It can't stop changing. If the climate of the planet Earth ever stops changing, that's when we're fucked. Because that means really bad things are happening. Like Donald Trump was elected president. The Earth, as is known for a fucking fact, has been warmer than it is now. It has been colder than it is now. The global warming wackos desperately want to believe that global warming, man-made global warming, is happening, and that it is going to destroy all life on Earth, and that it is caused by carbon emissions. Now, what if, let's just say what if, global warming that's going to kill all life on Earth really is happening, but it's not caused by carbon emissions, or not caused entirely by carbon emissions. If all you do is reduce the carbon emissions, and then you find out that it's caused by sunspots, or, you know, Republicans hating homosexuals, or, you know, me farting, you know, whatever it is. If you try to fix global warming by reducing something that's not the cause of global warming, then you haven't fucking fixed it. But the global warming wacko, because of their religious conviction, is not capable of entertaining the idea that they could be wrong. Right? It's just like the religious fanatic. The Jehovah's Witness, the Christian, the Muslim. None of them can entertain. Again, to the Muslim, the idea that there really aren't a bunch of virgins who will be waiting for him after he blows himself up, he has no concept that that could be wrong. The notion that that could not be true cannot get through his religious filters. And so he's not able to think about, well, what should I do, what could I do, so forth and so on, just in case there really aren't going to be some virgins waiting for me after I blow myself up. The global warming wacko is exactly the same. The global warming wacko cannot detach from the notion that global warming is caused by carbon dioxide emissions. Now, of course, it's not caused by their carbon dioxide emissions, right? When the global warming wacko drives a car, you know, purchases an iPhone, whatever. See, that's fine, because the only carbon dioxide emissions that cause global warming are the carbon dioxide emissions of people and activities that the global warming wacko does not approve of. But the point they're making here, and going to make here, is that if you really think the Earth is getting warmer and we're all going to die, then try to cool the Earth in a way that is not dependent on the reason the Earth is getting hotter. Because that way, no matter why the Earth is getting hotter, if you cool it down, then you've saved everybody from the evil global warming. But again, that's not what the religion of global warming is interested in. The religion of global warming is a system designed to increase taxes and reduce freedom. Yeah, as I have said for years, look at every solution that global warming wackos put forth for global warming. They all involve more taxes and more laws. There's nothing, they will never put forth a notion like paint the roof of your house white. It'll never happen. With geoengineering, you don't care what is causing global warming. It could be a dozen things, from sunspots to hairspray, but that doesn't matter. You are directly lowering the Earth's temperature. And with geoengineering, you don't need the cooperation of China, India, Brazil, and so on. Indeed, the United States could carry out the temperature-lowering scheme all by itself. By contrast, controlling global warming by trying to restrict CO2 emissions is uncertain and cumbersome. You have to assume that the carbon dioxide theory is correct, and it is only a theory with no direct confirmation. You have to assume that no other factor plays a major role in global warming. And you also have to hope that, hope. But Obama brought the hope. We've got hope now. So we've got this one covered. You also have to hope that all the major countries of the world will join the campaign to severely restrict CO2 emissions. Remember, this is from 2010. So in the 6 years since then, how many major countries have joined in the campaign to restrict CO2? How many major countries are reducing their CO2 output? I think the number would be about the same as the average IQ of a global warming wacko. Third, the geoengineering approach is fast. You get cooling effects the day you start. Following the carbon restriction route, we have to make huge economic sacrifices for decades to hope for a possible temperature reduction half a century later. And if it turns out the Earth isn't warming with geoengineering, you can turn the effort off immediately. With the carbon approach, you've locked in cooling for generations, assuming the CO2 theory is right. If this cooling is added to cooling from some unexpected source, the result will be a man-made catastrophe. Why are environmentalists mum about geoengineering? Why does the Obama administration ignore it? The $787 billion stimulus bill, so laden with baubles for green energy, does not contain a penny for research into climate control through geoengineering. The answer, it is becoming increasingly clear, is that environmentalism of the Al Gore variety is not a rational, responsible policy position. It is a religion, and like a religion, it is firmly anchored in prejudice. Except, of course, for the Islam religion, which has no prejudice whatsoever and is in fact the religion of peace. It is a religion, and like a religion, it is firmly anchored in prejudice, in the hates and hysterias of bygone days. We see this in the campaign against nuclear power. One episode, Three Mile Island, an accident that did not injure anyone, was misreported and exaggerated to create a wave of hysteria that blocked the development of nuclear power for generations. Even today, when nuclear energy is the answer to prayers for a non-carbon source of power, environmentalists continue their campaign against it, as evidenced by the opposition to the Yukon Mountain Nuclear Waste Repository. In the same fashion, the opposition to fossil fuels is an emotionally based aversion. This reminded me of another quick thing to cover. So I'm hanging out with my friends that I drink beer with. And they're all, left-wing statist liberal Democrats. And somehow we got to fracking. And again, these are all like global warming wacko types, right? That get this, there's no connection between their brains and reality. They don't get cause and effect. And fracking is a big thing around here in Colorado right now. They've got the people trying to stop fracking and the people trying to do fracking and the fracking and the fracking and the fracking. And one of the left-wing statists says, well, I don't see why we need to have fracking because the price of oil is so cheap right now. I'm thinking to myself, do you not understand the connection between cheap oil is, and reminder for those of you who may be new to the podcast, unlike everybody who talks about fracking one way or the other, pro-fracking or anti-fracking, I don't give a fuck, it doesn't matter. Unlike everybody out there who has an opinion about fracking, I worked in the fracking industry. I worked for an oil field fracking company for 2.5 fucking years. I actually know a little bit more about fracking than you do. I don't give a fuck about your goddamn dumb fucking opinion that you got from reading a motherfucking thing on the internet over at motherfucking salon.com or in at MSNBC.com or motherfucking Jezebel. Okay? I know a little bit more about it than you do. Okay, the reason the price of oil is so fucking cheap right now, it's because of fracking. It's the fracking that's allowed them to get more oil out of the fucking wells that already exist. Okay, and that can is one factor that can allow the price to come down, even with all the fucking government bullshit, manipulation, control, regulations, yada, yada, yada. Okay, it's cheaper to get more oil or gas, natural gas, out of not gasoline gas. Oil has to be converted into gasoline. Okay? It doesn't come out of the ground as gasoline, for those of you who don't fucking know anything. You know, for those of you, never mind, that's another story, I'll tell you another time. It's cheaper to get more oil or more gas out of an existing well than it is to go around and look for a place to drill a well, because you don't just like go out there and just drill a fucking well and the oil magically appears underneath it. You spend days, weeks, months surveying. You go out, you know, you do the boom, you shoot the shit down into the ground and you figure out where's a good place to drill and finally decide, okay, we should drill here. Then here, usually there's not like a fucking road going there. I've worked in the fucking oil and gas fields, okay? There's not like roads already there. Roads! Who's going to build roads? There's not a road already there. So you find a place, it's out in the middle of fucking nowhere. You go, this looks like a good place to drill. You make a fucking dirt road out there. You drive all this shit out there. You go out there. You build the fucking rig. You haul it and you got to drill. That costs a shit ton of money. If you can just get more oil and gas out of a rig that's already built, already has a hole in the ground, already has power and everything set up, already has a road going to it, yeah. And that's why the fucking price of oil and gas has gone down. And again, you're fucking statist. You're so fucking stupid that you don't understand why the price of oil is going down.
We don't need fracking. Oil is cheap. Look at me. I'm gonna vote for Hillary Clinton. I'm with her.
In the same fashion, the opposition to fossil fuels is an emotionally based aversion. Environmentalists learned to hate oil and coal in a bygone era, when these energy sources perhaps deserved, well, that's a word I can't even fucking say, much less pronounced. I can't say it, much less pronounce it. That would be the same fucking thing. I can't say it, much less know what the fuck it means. Opprobrium? Opprobrium. I guess I'm going to look that up. That's a fucking... If I can figure out how to pronounce that, I'm going to use that word and it'll sound like I'm really smart. God damn, I can't even write the fucking word. Alright, there we go. I did it. Automobiles used to create smog. Coal-burning power plants used to belch sulfur and soot. Long after they have been essentially cleaned up, environmentalists still hate them, swayed by the memory trace of an earlier time. But as I have pointed out over and over and over, environmentalists sure as fuck don't hate electricity. They don't hate charging their fucking iPhones. They don't hate all the conveniences that come from the fossil fuels. And for some bizarre reason, you know, just as the femistatists think that after the Muslims come in and replace all the white men, that they're still going to have, they being women, will still have, you know, affirmative action quotas to get jobs, and that they'll still be allowed to walk around in public with all of their titties hanging out, and that all this stuff they have now, they'll still have all the freedoms they have now, but they won't. The environmentalist thinks that if they get rid of all of the fossil burning plants and all this other stuff, they're still somehow magically going to have all the electricity. And this is what they don't understand. Because again, the religious beliefs prevent them from understanding the reality of the world around them. If you stop burning coal to make electricity and you don't replace it with something else, you don't have electricity. And I know in the fantasy, well, we have solar panels. No, sorry guys, there's this thing called clouds. See, and when the cloud goes over the solar panel, it reflects the sunlight back into space. and the sunlight doesn't hit the solar panel. And so the solar panel cannot provide consistent electrical power so that you can sit at home using your iPhone watching Game of Thrones. When the global warming CO2 connection was proposed, the prejudices clicked into place. Now, the mistrusted fossil fuels could be blamed for unimaginable future catastrophes. Environmentalists are not really interested in preventing global warming. Where have you heard that before? They want to make war on fossil fuels and everyone connected with them, from oil company executives to SUV-driving soccer moms. The realization that this war might be misguided and unnecessary would cause more consternation in their ranks than any number of melting ice sheets. If you don't believe me, tell the environmentalist in your neighborhood about the promise of climate geoengineering. See if they say, "Gee, that's exciting. Why, if this worked, we could burn all the coal and oil we wanted." And of course, their next response would just be, "Pollution! It's pollution! When you burn the coal and oil, it pollutes the environment!" But not when the burning coal and oil is used to drive you to the Apple store so you can buy a new iPhone. Or not when the coal and oil is being burned over in China so that the iPhone can be manufactured and then put on a ship, and you burn the fossil fuels as a ship goes across the ocean. And then you get to the United States and you burn fossil fuels unloading the iPhone off the ship, and then you put the iPhone in a truck and the truck drives across the country and burns the fossil fuels, and then the iPhone goes to the dealer and then they take it and they put it in a box and they give it to the fucking post office or UPS or FedEx. And they drive in a truck and burn fossil fuels, and they bring it to your house and give it to you, right? Those fossil burning fuels. See, that's totally okay, because you're getting an iPhone, and through the iPhone, you're going to get validation and attention from other left-wing statist, global warming, wacko, feminist statist, social justice warrior cunts like yourself. Right, you're going to post on your Facebook page with your iPhone how much you hate Donald Trump, and other people are going to like that. And because they're liking your post on Facebook, you're going to feel socially validated. You're going to feel like people care about you, like you're important, like you're an actual human being instead of just a fucking worthless bag of protoplasm that, if natural selection were allowed to take course, would be dead and good riddance. The global warming wacko does not give a fuck about saving, making little air quotes right now with my fingers, saving the earth or the environment or the starving people or any of this other bullshit. That is not on their fucking radar. What is on their radar is their own emotional and social validation. It's virtue signaling. It's seeking attention. It is what I have said about these people over and over and over. If they're not getting attention, they don't exist. All right, some quick ones. Each issue of Liberty Magazine had a section called Reflections, and this was a reflection that I just read. That was a longer one, but a lot of them are short. Here we go. Pick your poison. Every once in a while, I am asked, if you had to choose a form of government under which to live, which would it be? My pat answer is a constitutional republic. But the real answer is, it doesn't matter to me. Democracy, monarchy, I am much more interested in the limits placed on whatever government exists than I am in its structure. This is fucking critical shit to think about, kids. I want you to really think about what she's saying. This is Wendy McElroy saying this. Think about this. I am much more interested in the limits placed on whatever government exists than I am in its structure. My preference for a constitutional republic is nothing more than a fondness for the limits that a strong constitution can impose on power. If similar restraints existed under a monarchy, I would cease to prefer the republic. In short, it doesn't matter to me if I am oppressed by a king, the masses, an elite group, or an occupying army. Power is power, no matter how you dress it up. What matters are the limits. And this is the sort of thinking you're not going to run into pretty much anywhere on the planet other than Liberty Magazine. Go find the website. Like I said, I'll put the link in the show notes. Think about, just fucking try thinking about that for a sec. Because everybody, democracy and blah, blah. No, this is why I keep the democracy is a fucking failure. This is why democracy is a failure. Democracy is government power with no limits. Just whatever 50.1% of the people who vote in an election want, that's what's going to happen. It doesn't matter what it is, right? There's no limits. What matters in any kind of governing body is what are the limits placed on that governing body. And look at the federal government. Look at every fucking opportunity they get. They attempt to degrade the limits placed on them. Tenth Amendment to the Constitution is practically dead. The government, the state, is working on getting rid of the Second Amendment to get rid of the guns. They're chipping away at the First Amendment. The corporations are doing that for them. When you look at people like Milo being censored on Twitter, it's the limitations that matter. The form of government, I agree with Wendy, is much less important than the limitations placed on the powers of the government. And that's why I'm always right. There's more coming. There's more in this magazine I'm going to read. So, yeah, there'll be another edition reading from Liberty Magazine. Until then, I'm going to go have breakfast and do some shit and enjoy my life. I suggest you do the same, because one day you're going to fucking die. And you're not going up to hang out with an invisible man who lives in the clouds. So enjoy your life while you can. Stop being a fucking statist. Stop being a loser. Stop believing in religious shit like global warming. And watch out for Muslims driving trucks.